Today's case is from Korea. In Busan's bustling Seomyeon district, something terrible happened at a motel named Buckingham Motel. It was early October 2010 when the motel's owner, Ms. Lee, was found dead in a supply room. She had more than 70 wounds, a brutal sign of a violent attack. The police checked the motel CCTV, but hit a dead end. There was this one man who showed up right around when the murder happened. He was in and out quick, and no one knows who he is. The whole incident is a giant mystery. So this is the story of what went down at the Buckingham Motel, a regular motel where something horrible happened one night, turning an ordinary place into the center of a big unsolved crime. Let's delve into the Busan Buckingham Motel murder case. On a regular Friday morning, October 1st, 2010, in Seomyeon, Busan, Mr. Kim, who was then 46 years old, was on his way to work at the Buckingham Motel, tucked away in the back streets of this bustling area. Arriving around 10:45 a.m., he sensed something was off. The main door opened as usual, but Ms. Lee, the motel owner who usually manned the front desk, was nowhere to be seen. Mr. Kim thought she might be in the restroom, or she was just quickly checking the rooms, so he began his routine tasks, thinking she might show up anytime soon. First up was preparing guest supplies. He headed to room 101, next to the counter, used as a storage for items like sheets, toilet paper, and towels. This room was frequently accessed by staff, but today, unexpectedly, the door was locked. Unusual for this normally open storage space. With no key to open it, Kim was left puzzled and decided to wait for Lee to show up with the key. But even after a pretty long wait, she didn't return. As time passed, Lee's absence became more worrying. The motel's daily operations relied heavily on the supplies in room 101, and the delay was causing disruptions. He had no choice but to call the locksmith. When the door was finally opened, Kim faced a chilling scene. In the room lay a blanket soaked in a deep, disturbing red. Blood. Heart pounding, he cautiously uncovered the blanket, revealing a woman's body. Lee, 46, the owner of the Buckingham Motel, was dead beneath it. The police were summoned immediately. The crime scene was gruesome. Lee had endured a savage attack, evident from the shocking 74 wounds on her body. The injuries caused by a sharp weapon indicated a violent, excessive assault, uncommon in criminal cases. It was a rage-driven or deeply hateful attack, far more brutal than necessary for a killing. Further examination showed defensive wounds on Lee's hands, although they were not extensive. This suggested that while she might have tried to defend herself, the intensity of the attack was too much for her to fend off. The attack on Lee was particularly vicious, with most of the wounds targeting her neck and chest. About 45 of these wounds were so deep that they reached the bone, showing the severity and deliberate force behind each strike. The police noted that the nature of the attack was almost like torture, indicating a very calculated and intense intention from the assailant. The investigation considered two main possibilities regarding the identity of the attacker. One was that the killer could be someone with a deep personal vendetta against Lee, implying that this person knew her well and had a strong grudge. The other possibility was that the crime was committed by someone with severe mental disturbances, as suggested by the excessive nature of the attack. Lee was known as a modest and hardworking individual. She was the youngest of three siblings, with two older brothers. She lost her mom when she was just three, and was raised by her dad, who was a teacher in Seoul. She was a graduate of a prestigious women's university in Seoul and had lived her whole life in the capital city, unmarried. After her dad retired in 2003, they moved to Busan, her mom's hometown, and started running a motel. She helped her father's motel business. She managed the front desk, usually taking the night shift from 8 p.m. to 10 a.m. But her role became more critical about a month before the tragedy, when her father passed away unexpectedly, leaving her to run the motel alone. But Lee didn't intend to keep the motel for long. Lee was studying English while managing the place, planning to become an English language school teacher someday. Lee used to be really close to her dad, but didn't have many friends and wasn't very social. Apart from people she knew from church, she didn't have close friends. She didn't keep in touch with her school or college friends, and the local shopkeepers didn't even know what she looked like because she mostly stayed inside the motel. Her brother said she never dated anyone and probably wasn't the type to be in a relationship. But Lee was a devout Catholic and active in her religious community. Her only friends were from church, and even the motel staff were connections she made through church. She used to share her personal worries with her church friends. Even the motel's counter had crosses and religious icons. So Lee's life was pretty much just home, motel, and church. Her friends all said she was too kind and unlikely to have enemies who'd hold a grudge against her. The lack of clear personal conflicts in Lee's life led investigators to consider robbery as a possible motive, given that motels often handle cash transactions. But this theory was weakened when 300,000 won was found untouched at the counter, suggesting that theft may not have been the main goal. Lee was known to be quite cautious, always keeping the counter door securely locked. She even communicated with long-term guests only through a small window rather than opening the door. There were no signs of forced entry, suggesting that Lee must have opened the door herself for the perpetrator. This implies that the perpetrator was someone Lee trusted and was close enough to be allowed into her personal space. It's likely that Lee was caught off guard, possibly by someone she recognized and thus did not see as an immediate threat. This heightened the suspicion that the perpetrator could be someone familiar to her, maybe an acquaintance or someone she trusted. Also, there was a CCTV camera in front of the counter, but it was only for monitoring, not recording, so there is no footage left. The fact that there was a camera right there in plain sight, and yet the criminal still went ahead with the crime, suggests that the person knew the Buckingham Motel well enough to be aware that the CCTV didn't record. This means the perpetrator was likely someone who was really familiar with the inside workings of the motel. But there was another CCTV camera outside the first floor restaurant, overlooking the motel's entrance. This camera was key to reviewing who entered and exited the motel around the time of the murder. The analysis of the CCTV footage revealed a particular pattern. The same individuals appeared multiple times, indicating they were regular visitors. The number of these regulars was significant, not just a few individuals. This pattern was connected to the motel's business model and location. The motel, known for accommodating long-term guests, was near an entertainment district, and employees from nearby night establishments often rented rooms for extended periods, treating them more like personal apartments than typical motel rooms. This was different from standard motel operations, where guests usually stay briefly. Consequently, there was a steady stream of these long-term guests, clearly captured by the CCTV. The footage showed around 280 people, including the motel's long-term guests, employees from nearby businesses, and other visitors. This significantly broadened the pool of potential suspects, as any of these frequent visitors might have had the opportunity to commit the crime, complicating the task of narrowing down the suspects. The police also did blood trace tests in other rooms in the Buckingham Motel. they were thinking maybe one of the guests could be the culprit. If the killer got blood on them and then went back to their room, they might have left some blood there, so they checked every single room. But apart from room 101, where the crime happened, they didn't find any blood matching the victim's DNA. Now, at the motel's front desk, where Lee, the owner, stayed, they found this unfamiliar fingerprint. It belonged to the guests in room 201 and 307. The police looked into these people right away, but they didn't find anything suspicious. The police also found that 3 days before the crime, a foreign guest ran off without paying, so they started tracking this person down and managed to find him. But after a long investigation, they concluded he wasn't involved. And one by one, all the other guests who were at the motel on the day of the crime were cleared too, thanks to their alibis. But here's something strange. On the night of the crime, right next to room 101 where Lee's body was found, a man and a woman were staying. This motel isn't known for great soundproofing, so maybe they heard something crucial when the crime was happening, right? But surprisingly, both of them said they didn't hear a thing. It's strange, because even though there weren't many signs of a struggle, Lee did have some defensive wounds, so she must have screamed when she was attacked. The police found another key piece of evidence in room 101. A towel with Lee's blood on it also had DNA from someone else. It looks like the killer might have tried to wash off the blood and left traces on the towel. The police quickly did a DNA match, and they found a match, Cole, who runs a general store near the motel. He also did some handyman work at the motel, fixing things when needed. The important detail here is that he had visited the motel a few days before the crime, making him a prime suspect. But Cole claimed he was innocent. He said he was at the motel a few days earlier for a legitimate reason, to do some plumbing work in the first floor restaurant. He got dirty while working and took a shower in room 101, which the staff used as a break room. He used the towel then, and he thinks that's how his DNA ended up on it. The police gave him a lie detector test, and it showed he was telling the truth. Plus, he had a solid alibi for the day of the crime, so he was cleared. This case was tough. No witnesses, little evidence, no clear motive, and none of the long-term guests in other rooms seemed suspicious. Desperate for any clues, the police then reviewed the CCTV footage again. Lee was last seen alive just after midnight on the day of the crime, handing towels to a guest through the motel reception window. She was found dead at 10 a.m., so the person who entered the motel in that 9 to 10-hour window is probably the killer. They narrowed it down to 55 people, checked 54 of them, and all were clear on identity and alibis. But out of the many guests coming in and out of the motel, the police couldn't identify one person seen on CCTV entering the motel at 2:45 a.m. and leaving at 3:16 a.m., around the time of Lee's death. He didn't seem to stay at the motel and was only captured twice on CCTV. Experts from an investigative show analyzed the footage and described the man as wearing a blue short-sleeve top with white sleeves and a dark long-sleeve shirt underneath, about 171 centimeters tall and of average build. His stride suggested he was in his 20s or 30s. He kept his left hand in his pocket and discreetly avoided cleaning staff on the street. Later CCTV footage showed him examining both hands, suggesting he might have been checking for injuries. This led to speculation that he could be left-handed, especially if he injured his left hand while committing the crime. It's a reasonable assumption. Unfortunately, the police couldn't identify him. They traced him as far as they could, and it seems he took a taxi and disappeared after reaching the main road. But despite being a strong suspect, no one recognized him, and poor video quality hindered further identification. Over 2,000 flyers were distributed, and witnesses were sought among local shopkeepers, pedestrians, and taxi drivers. But no one knew anything. Even the police went through all the CCTV footage in the area, but it led nowhere. Even if they somehow found out who he was, there was still a lot to figure out. The only evidence the police had was the CCTV footage showing him leaving the motel around the time of the murder. There were no footprints or DNA found at the scene. The Buckingham Motel has since been taken over by someone else, renamed, and is still operating. Some experts have raised fundamental doubts about whether the man on the CCTV footage is actually the perpetrator. The police have conducted extensive investigations and already excluded about 200 people from suspicion. It's been a lot of effort, but there is still a possibility that the perpetrator was among them. Because, as I said earlier, most of the long-term guests at the Buckingham Motel at the time were people working in the entertainment industry, so many of them knew each other. So, because of that, there were cases where people actually ended up proving each other's alibis. Of course, we don't know all the details of the investigation at the time, but we have to consider the possibility that the suspect cleverly escaped the police net. Also, in the SBS broadcast at the time, a new possibility was raised that hadn't been known before. It was reported that Lee, the victim, was in a relationship with a man. Motel employees also mentioned that around the time of the incident, Lee frequently went out and then came back to the motel. Another new piece of information that came to light was that despite Lee being a devout Catholic, there were people around her who could be seen as part of a questionable, possibly cult-like religion. These individuals had visited the Buckingham Motel at the time. There were witness statements saying that Lee had a minor argument with them. In fact, when checking the call history at the time of the incident, most of the people Lee spoke with were related to the religious activities. Whether these individuals were really from a church or, as suspected, from a cult-like group wasn't clearly established. Unfortunately, there's a sense that the police back then didn't scrutinize religious people much, perhaps underestimating their potential involvement. At that time, the main focus of the investigation was on the general store owner and the mysterious man from the CCTV footage, so there's a concern that a crucial suspect might have been overlooked due to these biases. What kind of grudge or anger could have led someone to brutally attack the victim 74 times? Just looking at the nature of the attack, it seems like an overkill fueled by rage, but at the same time, the perpetrator left without a trace, which could point to a meticulously planned crime. However, all of this is just speculation. Currently, the motive of this perpetrator is still unclear, which is really unfortunate. It's been over a decade since the incident, and it remains an unsolved, long-standing case in Busan. Who do you think is the killer? The mystery man in the CCTV footage? Her secret boyfriend, or someone she met at church? I'll leave you with that. That's all for today. Thanks for watching.